You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude!
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy post-long weekend. We are starting our Monday as a Tuesday, and it is great. As much fun as the long weekend was, this is pretty cool, too, because it's a short week. So happy Tuesday, everybody, wherever you're joining us from, around the state of Wisconsin or parts beyond. It is great to have you here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are coming to you live on the Civic Media Network on this Tuesday, where we have so much to talk about, Greg. I can't even believe it. Greg Bach, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Greg Bach, coming to you from Radio Park in Racine.
I was half expecting you not to be here tonight, Greg, because your stand-up gig
went something
so well on Friday. You said, so long, suckers, I'm off to the big time. But apparently that didn't happen. That rarely happens. That never happens, actually. Well, how'd the gig go?
It only happens when you have, like, you know, 3 million followers on social media, put out videos all the time, go do shows all the time, and I don't do any of those things. So, yeah, no, I'm here. Hello. It was a good show. It was a good weekend. It was fun. It was, Chastity Washington is the absolute best. She's one of the funniest comedians. She's the funniest comedian in Milwaukee. She's one of the funniest in the Midwest. And this is just a note for Chicago. She doesn't belong to you. You guys always claim her, like, Chicago's own. No, she's from Milwaukee. She's from Wisconsin. She's ours. Just knock it off. But it was a really fun time. It was my first time actually being at the Tap, the Laughing Tap, since they reopened the doors. Yeah. And so that was very interesting. But on Friday, we got done with the show. And before, like, even like the everything was shut down, I was out the door in my car driving up to Milwaukee. And I got there at 7:34. And I walked in, and everyone was like, hello. You know, I told them I was going to be there very much at showtime. And it was just, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, Pete, where you get to a show and you're out of sorts and you're like, I got to do jokes now. And you realize that, oh, I got to, like, remember my jokes. And then there was a couple that I kind of slipped up on, but it was fun. We had a good time. And you know, it was great seeing a bunch of wonderful comedians and just great to do a show. I mean, it was really, really good time. I enjoyed it a lot.
It seems like you're kind of a radio big shot. You could walk in and go, I'm a few minutes late, but I've got another gig.
Yeah. Do you know who I am? I don't know. Who's anybody nowadays? We don't know.
And you used to be a big shot with that particular club. So I would think they would. I'm sure they were cool about it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were a little surprised that I was. I think they were expecting me to get there between 7:20 and 7:30. But when I show up, it's like 7:34. They were like, okay, you're here. Let's go. And then, like, we want to start in 2 minutes. I'm like, perfect. Let's do it. Let's just do this right now. So, awesome. it was a fun time. And I suggest people go out and check out shows there, laughingtap.com for more information. And when there are more comedy shows, I know I'm doing a couple of shows next month, which is interesting. It's like I'm doing stand-up. It's like I'm doing stand-up again, Pete.
Dude, I went through a phase where I kind of, you know, I did it so long ago. Mm-hmm. And for a living, it was fun. I toured all over and it was great. But then I didn't want to watch it for a long time. I've kind of gotten a rebirth. Like, some of the comedians that pop up on reels, like on Instagram, are really funny. And I really like watching stand-up comedy again. So I might just surprise you and be in the audience one night. So glad it went well.
Baby, how was your weekend?
It was nice. I had, we just kind of hung around. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. We watched a movie called Jack Ryan Ghost Wars with Jim John Krasinski.
John Krasinski.
Got my Krasinski's mixed up. And then
Jim Caviezel, the guy who played Jim.
It's not the guy from Red Moon or whatever that was. Thin Red Line. No, but it was fun. I mean, the movie was not great. These movies are kind of going downhill. It was one of those movies that was like wall-to-wall music. It's like, please stop. No. Let this thing breathe. Yeah. I know you're trying to make it more exciting, but if it's not there, it's not there. Just take a break.
Plus, when you're dealing with stories that have to do with spies and espionage, there are moments when silence is important.
It's okay. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
very interesting to me. Okay, well.
Yeah, but we did the usual cookout. We launched our summer barbecue. We did the brats and the burgers. I had like 3 brats. Now I don't need to see a brat again for another year. but it was fun. And we played this neighborhood golf game we play called soccer golf with soccer balls. We had a couple tournaments. And here's what I've learned about where I live. I live in a small old Chautauqua community. It's like 50 mm-hmm. houses on the outskirts of Christmas City, if you will.
Ooh.
And when you walk, there's a fair share of old people, but we walk laps very leisurely around this thing in our neighborhood. And people go, whoa, you are really going to town. Like I'm an athlete or something. Like, this is a leisurely stroll.
Yeah, but Pete, you're a youngin' there. I mean, you are a guy who like, oh my gosh, you got your original knees. My goodness, what a brag. Yeah. What a brag.
What's that whippersnapper think he's doing? What's he trying to prove?
Slow down. You're going 4 miles an hour, boy. Come on.
I know. And it's hard to get exercise anyway, because you see people, especially when the weather gets nice, you stop at every other house and it's like a 5-10 minute conversation. But it was really nice. Nice weekend. But also good to be back in the air. Dom, what are you looking at? How was your weekend, buddy?
It was really good. And the reason why it was so good was I also watched a movie in theaters, The Obsession. The Obsession was such a good movie. It was great.
I'm envious. That is supposed to be outstanding. I cannot wait to see that movie.
It was the best horror movie I've ever watched in theaters, ever, to date. It was so good. So good.
Cool.
Greg doesn't like to hear that.
Greg's the same, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it. Like, I'm the scaredy cat.
He's already
the
scared.
Old scaredy. I'm a scaredy cat. It's like, No, thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you go down to Chicago for your long weekend, where Chastity Washington is not a resident, by the way?
Just to reiterate. Exactly.
I did. Yes, I did. Just saw the family for a couple days, but then I had to go back like the morning of Sunday, so I didn't even really go on Memorial Day. But yeah, it was a nice chill weekend, and saw some family. It was really nice weekend.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well,
excellent.
Fantastic.
Well, we have a great show tonight, guys. Our pal Jim Santel will be here. He is a former prosecutor. He was a former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and he hosts Amicus Law Review. Am I getting that right, Greg?
I'm going Amicus Law Review every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Civic Media.
And Jim is knowledgeable, and he is a good guy, and I cannot wait to talk to him at 5:35. We've got a few questions for Jim as we do, and you've known Jim longer than I have, Greg. I would say you guys are pals even.
We're pals. We're buddies. We've hung out. We've hung out socially, which is very fun, because someday I'll tell you the story of Jim Santel and pretzel bites. It is one of the most heartwarming, beautiful stories of a man who is so accomplished discovering a snack for the first time. And it's great. Jim is great because, he can talk about the law. He can talk about art. He can talk about drama. He is just a good human being. And I'm always very happy to have him around to break down these huge stories coming out of the world of law. And there's always stories coming out of the world of law, whether we're talking about just basic decisions from judges to all the way to the Supreme Court. He's here for us, and we appreciate it.
And don't you love, like what you told me before the show, Jim does a lot of pro bono work, mostly pro bono work. That says a lot about someone's character, I think, because he could still be cashing in and charging people, whatever, but I think that's amazing. I've got a lot of lawyers in my family that have done that kind of thing, and I'm in awe of people like that. It's a great trait, and Jim has it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just a good human being, period. That's all there is to it. No getting around that point.
Yeah, I don't like him personally, but I do agree with you. He's a good person. We also have, ladies and gentlemen, coming up in hour number 2, actor based in Door County. You don't hear that a lot. County-based actor Kurt Krause will be here. He is working on a movie, getting a movie going. He's in a play coming up. It sounds like a hilarious play. So we'll talk to Kurt about all things that he's got going on. He's been on the show several times before. And gentlemen, I am very excited to announce this week's, it's my choice this week for the Nightlight Movie Club, which takes place every Thursday night here at Nightlight in the second hour at 6:20. We break a movie down. We talk about it. We celebrate it. This week's movie, Compliments of Pete Schwabba.
Well done. We got a timpani.
The Outsiders.
Boom.
How is that?
Wow. Boom.
Matt Damon. C. Thomas Howell.
Not Matt Damon.
I'm sorry. Matt Dillon. Matt Damon would have to been like
Affleck.
In utero. you're correct. Matt Dillon. Rob Thomas. No. Rob Lowe. Pat Swayze is in this movie. Great actor.
Old Patty Swayze.
We've got Tom Cruise in a lesser role, but great. Emilio Estevez, Ralph Macchio. Diane Lane, who steals the scenes she's in, is great too. Yeah. This week's movie of our Nightlight Movie Club is The Outsiders, that classic. Everybody, we were talking about this before the show, had to read it in eighth grade, and then the teacher would oftentimes show the movie. So you've probably already seen it, folks. And if you haven't, check it out or give it a rewatch, which is what I'll be doing before Thursday night. And join us for in hour number two, where we break down The Outsiders and discuss it at Nightlight Movie Club. That'll be fun.
Absolutely. It's going to be a really, really good time.
Yeah. All right. I think without further ado on this Tuesday evening, we should get to the question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay. I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right. Memorial Day weekend is in the rear view, folks. Summer is here. And our question of the night is, what is the best vacation spot in Wisconsin? We are vacation central here in America, or at least in the Midwest. Everybody comes to Wisconsin with good reason. Yep. We have a beautiful state. It's amazing in the summer. What is your best vacation spot in Wisconsin? If it's winter, if it's your favorite winter spot, that's okay too, but let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Very easy to use. You probably already have it. If not, download it because you're going to need it because we have a great contest coming up again. One of our Text to Win contests is right around the corner. So get the Civic Media app, or you can send us a message over the stream if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, and or Twitter, X, whatever the heck it's called. What are they called? It's called X. Send me an X, will you? X me, Greg.
No, I will not do any of those things.
Tweeting worked. Send me a
tweet.
Tweeting
was great. Tweeting great. Tweet. Now they're like, oh, it's a post. I'm like, that doesn't sound fun anymore. Tweet's better. No. And it's still Twitter to me.
Me too. And tweeting, apparently, it's just not manly enough. So they hit X. So stupid.
I'm Xing out. I'm going to just X a lot today.
I'll be Xing most of the day.
Today's legs day and X day. All right.
Be part of the show, folks. Let us know what your favorite or best vacation spot is in Wisconsin. And we will share ours in the second hour as well. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, Jim Santel coming up after the news at 5:35. Greg, I'm just going to give you a minute here to go crazy for your Brewers, bud. We had Mike Clemens wanted to come on and talk about this heroic, historic day. What happened out there?
I mean, well, we had a decent showing against the Dodgers. We beat one game. We got one game that was good. And then they kicked the stuffing out of us the next game. And then the third game was meh. The Brewers are still sitting right there on top, number one, 2.5 games ahead of St. Louis, who we're playing right now, or not right now, but this evening.
Yeah.
But the Brewers, I mean, from what they're just setting records and busting down walls and doing it big style. It's also very weird as a Brewers fan. I'm sure you can identify with this as a Cubs fan and Dom as a White Sox fan. When your team is doing really well, you're like, oh man, they're doing great. When does it all fall apart?
Yeah, and it's early, but
yeah,
I mean, if they're capable of doing it now, and what did Mizorowski do? What was his big?
Oh, he said, that's why we need good old fashioned
tons of strikeouts.
Yeah, okay. He said, there we go. Here, sets record for 100 mile per hour plus pitches. There we go. For the most in a single game. 57 pitches of at least 100 miles per hour during the 5-1 victory against the Cardinals last night.
We are coming right back to tell you what's going on in the world, folks. We might even ask you to sign an NDA. So don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss that. It's Nightlight with Pete and Greg on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
But still, it was just an amazing and rocking show. Really well done. And I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I went to that show.
And it's more artists that I figured out due to you guys as well, because I had no idea the Police really existed until,
Yeah, and they're one of those bands. I don't care if they have new music. I just want to see them go perform all the old ones, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
There's a great... Oh, go ahead, Greg.
I don't want them to make new music. They're done. They're like, I think
it might disappoint.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, Sting wants to do what he wants to do, and I think they're brothers in the truest form, where like they love each other, but they can't stand each other for a while. And to put them in a studio to say, "All right, make a record," they'd be like, "Yeah, we'll just murder each other instead. How about we do that?"
Right.
So
he went on stage, I think in Barcelona with Springsteen years and years ago, and there's a YouTube video of this and singing "Twist and Shout," and Sting is going nuts and he's doing somersaults and they're just having a blast together. Like,
wow.
It was one of the coolest, most infectious videos I've ever seen.
Nice.
15 seconds, guys. 15 seconds.
All right.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. I am coming to you live from Northeast Wisconsin, where it is about to storm, guys. You might hear some thunder coming to you live from Marinette, Wisconsin. Just down the coast, coming to you live, is Greg Bach from Radio Park in Racine. And the kid, Dom Lee, is holding down the fort in Madison at Civic Media headquarters. We are, for those of you listening on the stream, the Yotter Hay Triangle, and we are arranged as such on the stream if you're watching the show on YouTube, Facebook, or the app, or Civic Media. We're not on NBC, are we right now?
On NBC? No, unless the contract was very different when I saw it. Like, no, we are not on NBC.
We could do like a Colbert public access show. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, only in Monroe. That was really cool.
Get Jack White, that would be pretty cool. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Wisconsin vacation spot, or which spot do you think is the best? We are the state of summer. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to be in Wisconsin in the summer, so let us know what your favorite spot is to vacation in, and be part of the show. We'll read your texts, most likely in hour two. Greg, we've got some things happening in the world, and it seems like every time I turn around, there is a certain president that is insulating himself from prosecution, bad words, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether or not, like, you know, he's going to walk out of the office with a blanket pardon for he and his family and anybody who came into the White House during his time in office. To now what we're seeing here, according to Yahoo News, they're reporting, this is from the Washington Post, actually, Trump administration proposed NDA for all federal workers because they believe that there are leaks coming out of the federal government that are leading to stories in the paper. And so they want to, they are entertaining the idea of making all federal employees sign NDAs, which to me just says, you're just doing stuff wrong you don't want anyone to talk about. And this story does a really good job of breaking down the fact that these NDAs would really stand in the way of First Amendment rights. They would stand in the way of whistleblowing. They would stand in the way from anybody actually, you know, reporting any wrongdoing, which that's not how it's supposed to work in government. It's supposed to, you know, there's something going on. You should tell people. We should tell people.
It was hard enough signing an NDA to do this show with you guys, but I've honored it so. And I have not ratted. Nobody's, you know, you guys, your secrets are safe with me. But it's kind of like, don't investigate me. The IRS can't come after me. And now you can't talk. So what is the purpose? So much for open government. And I'm not saying everybody, you know, if there are state secrets or there's an attack, whatever. Okay, but we've always operated. We've always figured that out before. Are these really necessary?
Well, no. I mean, I personally believe, like, if you work for the government in a very sensitive section, whether you're talking about the Pentagon or you're talking about the White House, yes, there are certain things that you cannot talk about for fear of being arrested for treason or for, you know, that's understandable. But like in this article, they use the example of, you know, there were unauthorized disclosures regarding the kidnapping of former president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, and that these stories made their way into the New York Times. But the executive editor himself said, we didn't have that information. We didn't delay the story. We didn't do anything. Don't use us as an example to push your NDA narrative, because all you're trying to do is keep people from telling on you because you continue to be the most corrupt presidency in the history of America.
Yeah, they just want to do whatever they want, and they don't want any repercussions. So,
I mean, it's not like they listen to the courts anyways when something happens.
Right. That was a weird thing, too. They said agencies can decide whether to adopt the NDA according to the draft, so it's what, optional? It's like such a mixed message. It's like the Iran war. I can't figure out what's going on from a day-to-day basis. You know.
My goodness gracious, Yeah, exactly.
Here's a story that I love this. And again, it's like Pope Leo kind of being a thorn in the, not the president necessarily, because Trump hasn't come out but in billionaire sides, I'll say, because in Politico, Pope Leo said that artificial intelligence could exacerbate inequality, deepen social fragmentation, and weaken moral responsibility unless it is constrained. He's not alone there. I do like that he's speaking out on this, because although, as Trump mentioned, he's weak on crime, whatever that meant a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, totally.
He's being strong on AI. And listen, we were joking around the other day in our house with the kids. My son was asking crazy questions to AI, and this girl's voice in AI was coming. It was really creepy. And he was saying weird things, and she was going, okay, yeah, see, here's what I think you should. It is so creepy, and I thought AI was going to kill us all that night. Like, that's how creepy it already is. So there have to be regulations, not just because I'm freaked out, but in general. I mean, we don't want a Terminator situation here. I bring everything back to movies. But I know former President Barack Obama is working on figuring out regulations for AI, too, because he sees the importance in it. I don't feel like billionaires should have free reign with this and do whatever they want, because, frankly, we're in a lot of trouble, I think, if that's the case.
Well, I just think it makes sense that in the day and age of this kind of technological advances, and I'm not against AI, you know, I'm not like saying AI is the worst. I'm just saying that it just makes sense that something that's very powerful, that's being used, and this story makes very clear, it's being used in all facets of life, whether we're talking about entertainment, we're talking about government or military, there need to be some safeguards, there need to be some guardrails. But this administration and this current version of America, not a really big fan of guardrails, at least the people in power. They think guardrails are, like anti-America and freedom and makes us weaker and less men, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, again, for me, it's a weird situation because, you know, there's a lot of conversations we could have about the Catholic Church. And I know that they're worth having, not at this moment because we have a show to do. But I do like to see this Pope and the Pope and his predecessor, Pope Francis, really taking up these topics and really speaking out, even though, you know, Pope Leo is soft on crime. So soft on crime.
I don't know what he, you know, he hasn't done one thing about gang violence. It's interesting, but he sent out a letter. He's a voice and he's an influence. So I say, go for it. We do need this. We need some regulations before it's too late. Cause frankly, politicians, if things go too far, you can't reel it back. And that's what I think Pope Leo was saying. So, all right. We are going to break for the news, ladies and gentlemen. Our question of the night, what is the best vacation spot in Wisconsin? Summer is here. Let's celebrate it, and let's celebrate our state with this fun question. Be part of the show. When we come back, Jim Santel is here, folks. You've heard him here on Civic Media, Amicus, A Law Review. That's Jim, and he's here next. It's Pete and Greg and Nightlight.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Here on the Civic Media Network, always love some wings bringing us on in. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. The question of the night is, summer is here, so what is the best vacation spot in Wisconsin? Let us know here on the text line. Give us a call, the live stream, or via the Civic Media app. It's very easy to download. You can call, you can text, you can listen live. It's a great way to stay in touch at all points. Do not forget, in the second hour, we'll be talking to Kurt Krause, who is a Door County native film producer, actor, talking about all the things he's into right now, including a movie he's making as well as a play, but that's coming up in the second hour. But right now, let us welcome to the stage our first guest of the evening. He is the host of Amicus Law Review, which is on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on the Civic Media Network. He's also a former U.S. attorney. He is Jim Santel, and we are so excited to have him on the show this evening. Good afternoon / evening, Jim. How are you today?
Equally excited to be with you, gentlemen. Once again, lots and lots of things to talk about, including some surprises out there, right? Rule of law stuff and legislative action. So delighted to be with you.
Isn't it weird when the rule of law seems to work the way it's supposed to?
Yes.
Let's kick things off, though, with a decision coming from the Supreme Court regarding the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So This is a fellow named Joseph Clifton Smith. He's an Alabama man. He was sentenced to death by Alabama after murdering a man. Heinous event. Horrific event that prompts all this. He is sentenced to the death penalty, and as your listeners certainly know, Supreme Court said a long, long time ago that under the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment, it is not necessarily a violation of the Constitution to impose the death penalty. Some states say yes, some states say no. Alabama is one of those that's gone ahead and say, yes, we're going to make that available, if you will, to judges and to juries, but you have to do it according to rules, the Supreme Court said. Another case called Atkins versus Virginia says you can't administer the death penalty if, in fact, the person, the defendant, the convict, does not have the mental capacity, the intellectual ability to appreciate what's going on, to basically understand the events and circumstances surrounding this, probably the nature of his or her conduct, and also the penalty and the nature of that. And so the question's always been, okay, under what circumstances can you execute someone of limited intellectual capabilities? In this particular case, once again, Mr. Smith falls kind of in that category. Alabama says if you've got an IQ of 70 or more, you are intellectually capable of understanding this. If you're somewhere around that or less than that, you are not. Here, Mr. Smith scores 72 to 78 over a period of years. And the question is, with a margin of error, is that in the category where the Supreme Court would say, yes, indeed, he suffers from sufficient intellectual incapacities such that imposing the death penalty on him would be unconstitutional? And lower courts, the Alabama court, has said, nope, we're going to go ahead. He's just above our line, which is 70. A lower federal court came in and said, no, given the lack of clarity on this, that you're in this ballpark once again, and some other testing that also indicated that he does not have the intellectual capacity to appreciate what's going on, lower federal court says, no, we're suspending this. Alabama takes it up to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court says, we can't decide. And they do something. Here's your Latin. Here's your law stuff for the day. they basically say that the review action was improvidently granted, which means we made a mistake. We looked at the file here and there's not sufficient detail in it. We don't have enough details and facts to render a decision and to give clear direction, not just to Alabama, but to other states on this intellectual capacity issue. And for that reason, we're not deciding. We're dismissing the case here. Goes back down to the lower courts, presumably for some resentencing. And in the meantime, there is plainly Mr. Smith gets a reprieve just because, again, the lower federal court said no death penalty imposed here. But again, it underscores not only the process before our Supreme Court, but also that death penalty issues continue to loom large before the highest court, and Eighth Amendment is still an active part of what we think about in America.
Whew. Wow. Well said.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Every time I thought I got to follow up with Jim about this, you answered it. So thank you for that. And very well done. Jim, it just came out today that I'm going to jump out here for a second from the death penalty. And just Trump has proposed NDAs for all federal workers. Is this legal, constitutional, American? It actually seems like it's so controversial. Like Greg and I were talking before, it might actually encourage whistleblowing because you're clamping down so hard. What do you make of this?
Who knows what the unintended consequence may be? Again, I think about two categories. I was in both of them. As a civil servant, again, I do not give up my First Amendment rights to speak out, to whistleblow. And if someone had come to me during the 30 years that I was assistant U.S. attorney, some other spots, and said, here, as a condition of your civil service employment, not connected to politics, not connected to things that you may or may not say, I would refuse to sign that. And I think the courts would support me on that. That's civil servants. Political appointees. I was a U.S. attorney. Marshals are that, plainly many others in the federal government. There, in fact, if the president wants, as a presidential appointee, president wants to pick up the phone and fire me based upon something that I have said, that is his or one day her prerogative. But we're talking really about all those civil servants out there. And so to answer your question, Pete, I would certainly anticipate that a federal judge looking at this saying, no, no, that is not a proper condition for a civil servant. They do retain First Amendment rights. They do retain whistleblower rights. There are federal statutes that give them that authority, even that obligation to come forward if, in fact, they see fraud and waste and abuse. It happens all the time. It is not consistent with our understanding of how government works. And again, I would look forward to someone challenging this if he's serious about going ahead with this. If someone doesn't get to him and say, Mr. President, another bad, bad idea. But if he does go ahead with it, anticipate this being in the courts for at least some period of time before a judge says, no, I'm enjoining, I'm stopping that too.
And I just wanted to make a point really quick too, is I don't know how you would enforce an NDA on 2.7 million federal employees, which is where we're at right now. We probably had more before, pre-Doge, but I just think it just seems like an absolutely ridiculous thing to say. Well, we'll just have them all sign NDAs. Well, okay, we'll see you in court. See you in court.
Exactly. And the real the point of again, your good observation, Greg, is just this. It's impractical to do that. I think a lot of people would once again resign. You've got supervisors who would not do this. But more than anything else, it's to do what? It's to send the message. This is not a practical thing. It's just to send the message that if you are in a federal employee, I'm watching you, I'm looking at you, and I may at some point attempt to go after you for the things you say. It's that deterrence, which the presidency should not at all be about. It should be about, again, transparency and telling members of the federal workforce that I expect you to come forward when in fact there are problems in our administration, fraud, waste, abuse, all those kinds of things have got to be a part of the job.
Yeah.
To report on it, that is.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. If you are just joining us right now, we are talking to former U.S. Attorney and current host of Amicus, a Law Review, Jim Santel. He is our guest this evening. We're talking about all the biggest stories coming out of the world of law. And we have a couple of minutes left in this segment, but let's get to what you listed as two big victories coming out of the courts, victories for Democrats, that is. Do you want to talk more about that?
Absolutely. So this is in the wake of that Calais case that sent all of us a flutter around the country, especially a whole swath of states in the South, now redistricting after Sam Alito and a majority of the Supreme Court said, you don't have to be concerned about anything, basically, as long as you do it for political purposes. If you have a consequential impact upon race, we don't care anymore. So it sets off all of these things in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, Virginia, obviously the Democrats also there. But two big things happened today. One is as Alabama and the governor there, Kay Ivey, begins to put together a plan to get rid of the singular majority Black and majority Democratic district. Lo and behold, federal judges come in, three of them, and they rejected this new voting plan. And they say, we cannot see our way clear to requiring Alabamians to cast their votes in the 2026 elections under a districting plan tainted by intentional race-based discrimination. And so, again, certainly it's going to be appealed to the appeals court. But a big news coming out of the federal court in Alabama saying, nope. You can't go ahead with what the legislature, what the governor wanted to do there. That is huge. That is certainly a setback for what everybody thought would be just the natural rolling forward here. And South Carolina, you got a legislative problem there. South Carolina also wants to get rid of the singular majority Black district there. And there you've got the legislature that comes forward and says, we don't have enough time. And failing to pass a motion, here's the nitty-gritty of it, to stop debate and signals that the early voting that's already underway there was no longer enough to provide support for the Republicans, and therefore punting votes down the road after the June 9th primary. Once again, there in South Carolina, this plan for a new midterm map, not only suspended for a while, but certainly defying the president in terms of what he wants. So a judicial decision, a legislative decision, two different states. As we were talking just before we began today, we all predict that we're going to be going down this road and having all this wild redistricting. And lo and behold, things happen, right? The world turns on its axis. And what you anticipated here, once again, from some judges and from some legislators, defying the president in South Carolina and saying, we can't go ahead. We are simply out of time. And he will not be happy about that, or, of course, about Alabama. we'll see what happens next in other states as well.
Yeah. Roll Tide. That's what I say. That's impressive. Jim, how many states, there's been pushback in three states now so far. How many states do you know, or maybe you don't, would it take to push back where this won't affect midterms, if that makes any sense?
Right. It just, the calculation, I do not keep a running tab on this, although I think people do. You've got to factor in not only what happened in Virginia, which is those four Democratic seats were overturned by the Virginia Supreme Court there. So that's in the opposite direction. Then you've got these attempts. Again, Tennessee has already put in place its new map. You've got Texas, you've got Louisiana, these things going on in South Carolina and Alabama today. At the other extreme, there's California, right? This is Governor Newsom creating new districts there. And I think, frankly, to answer your very good question, we'll see what tomorrow brings, because I think the calculus is changing every day. You can't wait until November, but it is 5 months away. You got to do this pretty quickly. And if you haven't done it already, you are pretty much running out of time, as South Carolina did. You can't change the rules. You can't change the lines. Frankly, much beyond maybe the 4th of July, but people have got to know where they're living, where they're going to be running. And if you wait much beyond that, then you get in trouble with what's so-called the Purcell principle that says you can't change the rules of voting so close to an election that people don't know what's going on. And so this is going to change every day, but at some point soon, you got to have it locked in for the legitimacy of the November election, whatever that may be.
All right, we're going to keep the conversation going with Jim Santel. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, which you can catch every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Civic Media. You can also go to civicmedia.us/shows and download past episodes. It's a great program. Check it out. Great information coming from Jim. But we'll be talking more with Jim about all the big news coming out of the world of law, including something having to go on with Wisconsin and our voter rolls. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Sam's got some new tunes.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here at what seems to be Disco 54 in the later years. We are coming to you live on Civic Media. I am Greg Bach, your co-host in Racine at Radio Park and all the way up in Marionette, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA. Is
Marinette.
Mr. Pete Marinette. Okay, Greg. Marinette.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We get that a lot. We're used to it.
All right. Well,
serious disrespect.
Oh, just totally just killed my vibe there. All
listen,
right.
Racy.
Up north is Pete, and then over there, that way over there, western bound, whatever, who cares, Dom Lee. But we are here tonight with you on Nightlight. We're so happy you're joining us. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook and YouTube and the platform we still call Twitter. Our question of the evening is, summer is here. What is your vacation spot of choice in Wisconsin? Let us know. And right now we're continuing our conversation with host of Amicus, a law review, every single Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Civic Media, Mr. Jim Santel. He's also a former U.S. attorney, served under five presidents, so he knows his stuff. And we've been talking about the biggest stories coming out of the world of law. And one of the bigger stories coming out is coming right from here in Wisconsin regarding the voter rolls, as the FBI continues to make their claim that the 2020 election was anything but safe.
Talk about efforts that should be put to bed. Again, this notion that we're still fighting this fight. And so what happens is, under the former attorney general, her name, you may recall, she was Pamela Bondi, but certainly continued under this attorney general. The request goes out to about 30 different states around the country asking for your voter rolls, your voter information, your records. And that includes, again, we don't keep track, of course, of how you vote, but we keep track of if you vote and how frequently you vote, those kinds of things, what your addresses are to ensure registration is proper, all those kinds of things. And the states, to a person, attorneys general in the states, have been pushing back saying, no, That's not information that you are entitled to, federal government. And oh, by the way, the request is based upon your assumption that there is voter fraud in our states. No, that's not true either. So they go and they challenge this again around the country, and not only in the Western District of Wisconsin, which is where you are right now and many of your listeners are as well. This is in Madison. You've got a federal district court judge. His name is James Peterson. And he takes this up and he has an evidentiary hearing on all this. And he says, just like all sorts of other judges around the country, including one in Maine on the same day last week, basically looks at this and says, government, once again, you've done this wrong. You're asking for information that is not subject to disclosure under something called the Civil Rights Act of 1960. He also takes up all these other allegations sort of implicitly and says, I'm not ruling on any of those. I'm not getting to those. But Department of Justice, your request for information under this statute, I'm going to deny it because these are not documents that the statute that you've invoked, that you yourself have presented this court, requires or mandates disclosure under. So you got it just plain wrong. And he dismisses the case. Once again, the incompetence of the Department of Justice. As I say, he joins many other federal judges around the country. I think it's unanimous now. It's many of them out there telling this attorney general and telling the Department of Justice, no, 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 no. And of course, you talk again about government spending time spinning its wheels on things that mean nothing anymore. This is another one of those. And it is one of those situations where the real reason for this is because we still just can't get rid of that notion that somehow the 2020 election was stolen, as you were just saying, that Joe Biden did not win, that Wisconsin, among other states, is responsible for that. And if only we can get all those voter rolls, we'll be able to prove it here 6-7 years later. It's absurd. And the judge appropriately found a legal and proper way linguistically to get rid of this. And it's gone. Now it's going to be appealed, probably the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Difficult to imagine the appeals court, they meet in Chicago, that they're going to overturn this. Who knows if the government would appeal this then to the Supreme Court, but likewise, unlikely that this will ever see the light of day beyond district and appeals courts, saying to the government once again, keep your hands off these records. They're not yours. And oh, by the way, if you decide to go down this road again, at least get your legal theory correct. Judge Peterson says you're kind of incompetent and you didn't do this right the first time around.
Oh, what are the odds?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Jim, we just have about a minute left. I'll just ask you, what is your favorite vacation spot in Wisconsin? I know you're a Milwaukee guy, but you probably seek some R&R occasionally.
I do, and I get out all the time out to the west, and you know, going again twice this coming summer. I'm a big fan of Sauk County and Spring Green, where American Players Theater is. You can go kayaking on the Wisconsin River, do all kinds of wonderful things, and Spring Green is a huge place for my family and me. We're going up there again a few weeks or so to see some plays at the American Players Theater, which, by the way, is going to be recognized in the Tonys this coming month or so.
Nice.
As the regional theater in America for 2026.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
Our own American Players Theater.
Say that one more time. Where is this place again so people can know?
It's American Spring Green. It's about 40 miles west of Madison. It's a beautiful area just where the glacier dumped all that, those small mountains out there. It is a venue out there in the woods. You climb up a small hill to get there. And you will watch theater in the round in the woods. And again, this year, they've been spectacular. Written up in this New York Times always. Look for them to be featured in the Tony Awards from Radio City Music Hall. And they're recognized as the regional theater of the year in the nation in a couple of weeks here. Big deal for Wisconsin.
Great place. Yeah, for sure.
Love it very much. Thank you so much, Jim, for being here. We really appreciate your time and your expertise, as always. Thank you so much for being our guest this evening.
Delighted to be with you, as always, gentlemen. Honored.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Santel is the host of Amicus, a law review. You can catch it every single Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Catch Back Issues, Back Issues Magazine Talk right there. Go to civicmedia.us/shows for old episodes. You can download and listen to those as well. But it is a fantastic program. You should check it out. And we always appreciate Jim being here and sharing his expertise and travel tips as well. Mm-hmm. When we come back after the news, we're going to be talking about the question of the night. What is your favorite Wisconsin vacation spot? So let us know. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on Civic Media.
The The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.